Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help each one of us as your children to be obedient to your word, and help us to study the word and to recognize how we can apply it for the accomplishment of your will here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following quote. Success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life as by the obstacles which he has overcome. This quote is by Booker T. Washington, an American literary giant of the early 20th century. As the days went by, Jean had started to recover from her illness. She got progressively stronger physically, day by day. One morning, Jean said to husband Al, who had been with her a few days now, "You know, Al, I bet you thought that I would never feel this good after what I've been through over the last few weeks. So, Al, I'm okay. Believe me, I'm really okay," she stressed to him. He did notice that Jean looked stronger than she had before. Things were really looking very good for her. Soon, Al would return for a brief while to Charleston. While he was away, one of Jean's daily rituals was walking the dogs around the neighborhood. Sometimes, though, Jean would leave the dogs at the house and take a short walk, about a quarter of a mile, from her house to the local park to get in her exercise. There would be lots of activity there, children playing and all. Often birds would be chirping, which added to the ambience of the area. But Jean focused on getting in her exercise, and she did so by doing a walk-jog routine, which usually meant about 6 laps around the park for about 2 miles. Jean also occasionally played a little tennis with Al whenever he was in town on a very nice tennis court in the park. Al would joke sometimes about the quality of Jean's tennis game because she would occasionally comment on her days on the tennis team back in high school. He would tell her, making fun, "You're kidding me. You played tennis on the tennis team?" "Yeah, sure," Al would respond in disbelief. But Jean would respond to what he had said. "But I really did. Just ask my sisters," she yelled back at him. Yes, Jean usually would hit the ball all over the place. After all, she hadn't played since high school. Anyway, it was a fun activity, plus it made her feel much better afterwards. Sometime Jean's nephews, John and Jake, would come over to just hang out with the Parkers and play tennis with Al and Jean. Like Jean, Jake was a member of his high school tennis team, and he enjoyed playing Al because it was always difficult for Al to beat him. So now it was payback time. Just as Jean was no match for Al in playing him in tennis, Al was no match for Jake either. But in the end, Al just enjoyed the fun of the competition, and everyone got a thrill out of playing. On nice weather days, it was just a fun time being at the local park, just hanging out. After a while, Jean and Al, along with John and Jake, would return home, both tired and hungry. Jean would then satisfy everyone by preparing things like hot dogs and pizza, as well as having refreshments like ginger ale and Pepsi and Coke. On this occasion, Jean had invited some neighbors over to join in on the fun. When she could, she tried to catch up on some news on TV while she was preparing the food. But at that point, everyone would just chill out in their own way. While having fun, the boys would anxiously wait for their father to come by to pick them up. At that point, another day's activity would soon be over, one of the many activities Jean participated in as she continued in her recovery. What was normal to Jean was being sincere in everything she did, She loved using the word sincere because she noticed so much deception in the world, as she had mentioned to Al many times. Jean's honesty was most evident with Al on many occasions, at least at times when she thought that she needed to be. One time, Jean was brutally honest with Al when she saw him put on a pair of pants that, to her, just didn't look right on him. So she asked him, "Now, Al, what in the world are you doing with those pants on? You look ridiculous in them. So you should throw them away." Then she continued to say, "I know you don't like it, but I'm telling you this because no one else is going to tell you." Al's likely response would be, "What? Throw them away? But I like these pants." Then Jean would respond, "Well, that's the worst part of it. And that's because you don't even see anything wrong with them." Al would finally agree with Jean and, in this instance, found another pair of pants to wear. The moral of this part of the story is this. It's usually those close to us and most concerned about our well-being who will be honest enough to tell us when we're wrong. And Jean certainly wasn't shy about doing that, telling Al about his wayward ways. Our Heavenly Father also lets us know when we're doing wrong. It's called our conscience, or another way of putting it, it's our spirit that convicts us, if we're sensitive to that spirit. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Greetings. My name is William Porter. First of all, I'm an author and write inspirational books. And in particular, I write about the experiences people have that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes even miraculous. To date, I've published 3 books. Life in the Spirit is my first book, and it's a compilation of 15 short stories, true stories of personal experiences. And with many of these experiences, the people I've talked to truly believe that they are divinely influenced. Heaven Can't Wait is my second book and is a fictional account about how the lead character, a young woman, by searching for the man of her dreams, tries to find that proverbial heaven on earth. Of course, the various characters in this book, including the lead character, had a lot of pitfalls in pursuing this quest. Whether the goal was for fortune, fame, or, like the book's lead character, Maggie, getting the man of her dreams. My third and most recent book is entitled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, which, like my first book, is a non-fictional account of people's experiences. And I'm announcing today that my fourth book will be coming out soon. And it's a sequel to my second book, Heaven Can't Wait. You don't want to miss this novel to find out what happened to Maggie, that young woman who is the lead character. The second thing I do professionally is provide workshops for beginning writers and prospective authors. So if you're interested in writing your own book, I can help. Think about it. What better way to document your family's history, for example, than by having a permanent written record in the form of a book? And then the third thing I do is that I'm the host of my own radio show, Storytelling Time, which airs from 6 o'clock to 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time every Monday on the Every.Black web channel. On this show, I recite portions of the stories in my books, but I also conduct interviews with entrepreneurs about how God is a reality in their lives, especially as it relates to their business. My motto with respect to the books I've written is in the form of a question. And that question is, wouldn't you like to read some good news for a change? You know, there's so much bad news out there. It's difficult for anyone to remain positive these days and to be uplifted. And that's what my books are all about. Compelling stories that are uplifting and inspirational. So, if you'd like more information about what I do professionally, visit my website at williamporterlife.com. And my email address is waporter4995@yahoo.com. So remember, despite your current situation, there's always more good things coming your way. Have a great day. Welcome back. Jean also believed in fulfilling her dreams with no excuses and being sincere with her feelings and emotions. This part of her personality came out one day when she and Al were riding in the city as they both drove by some vacant property in a commercial area. Al mentioned to Jean that the site would be a good one for a fast food restaurant and that it would do very well at that location. Jean retorted and asked Al the question, "Well, then, why don't you start a business or a restaurant in that area? Don't wait for someone else to do it." Al never fulfilled that idea, but it was an indication of the faith Jean had not only in her ability to fulfill her own dream in starting a daycare center, but also in Al's ability to start a fast food restaurant, if that was what he really wanted to do. And here's another truth brought out in this portion of the story. And that is, to be successful at something, you, and only you, have to have the faith to get it done. That is, you have to have faith in yourself to accomplish it. You can't use the faith that someone else might have for you, like the faith Jean had in Al to start a restaurant. It won't work. And it didn't work for Al, because even though Jean apparently had faith in him to do it, Al himself apparently didn't have the faith to get it done. So he never did. That is, he never built that restaurant. And where did Jean get the kind of faith that she would believe not only in herself, but for her husband too? Well, even though God gives us all, as believers, at least a mustard seed of faith, sometimes that's all we need to move a mountain in our life. So, to answer the question, Jean had what we all have as believers, and that is at least a little faith, what the Bible calls a mustard seed of faith. But really, Jean had a lot more faith than that. Yes, she had the kind of faith that can move any mountain. But still, Jean needed help in receiving the level of faith that she had. And that help came from her diligent reading of the Bible, as well as hearing so many sermons at church. Beyond that, Jean was greatly encouraged by watching her favorite game show on TV one day. She got a lot of encouragement from the host, who decided after the show had ended to tell the audience the secret of being successful. And that secret is, you have to jump.
I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to tell you something that every successful person has to do, including you. Believe it or not, every successful person in this world has jumped. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. You are going to have to jump. You cannot just exist in this life. You have got to try to live. If you are waking up thinking that there's got to be more to your life than it is, man, believe that it is. Believe in your heart of hearts that it is. But to get to that life, you're going to have to jump. I'll tell you why I call it jumping. See, God, when he created all of us, he gave every last one of us a gift at birth. He never created a soul without endowing them with a gift. You just got to quit looking at gifts as running, jumping, singing, dancing. It's more than that. It's if you know how to network, if you can connect dots, if you draw, if you teach. Some of y'all fry chicken better than anybody else, bake pie. Some of you cut hair, color hair. Some people do grass. I got a partner, man, with never wanted to go out with us because we stayed out too late. Come on, man, go out with me. Now I got to get up early, Mom, cutting Miss Johnson's grass. We kept laughing at this dude, cutting grass. How much they pay you? He got a landscaping company in Cleveland worth $4 million. Because all he do is cut grass. But he was gifted at it. I got a partner on a detail shop, make $800,000 a year detailing cars. He got 6 mobile trucks running around. $800,000 a year. All he do is detail cars. That's his gift. That's what he loved to do. You've got to identify that gift. Now listen to me. When you see people in life, when you're standing on the cliff of life and you see people soaring by, when you see people soaring, going to exotic places, you hear about them doing wonderful things. Maybe you look up the street and your neighbor just gets a car every year, every 2 years. You know, how is he doing that? Have you ever thought maybe this person right here has identified their gift and is living in their gift? Because your Bible says, this your Bible says, your gift will make room for you. Your gift, not your education. You go get an education, that's nice. But if you don't use your gift, that education only gonna take you so far, man. I know a lot of people got degrees, man, and they ain't even using them. It's your gift. But the only way for you to soar is you got to jump. You got to take that gift that's packed away on your back. You got to jump off that cliff and pull that cord. That gift opens up and provides the soar. If you don't ever use it, you're going to just go to work. And if you're getting up going to work on a job every day that you hate going to, that ain't living, man. You just existing. At one point in time, you ought to see what living's like. But the only way to see what living like, you got to jump. And here's the problem. Let me just be real with you. When you first jump, let me tell you something. Your parachute will not open right away. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you it did, but it don't. When you jump, it's not going to open right away. You're going to hit them rocks. You're going to get some skin tore off on them cliffs. You're going to get all your clothes tore off. You're going to get some cuts on you. You're going to be bleeding pretty bad. But eventually, the parachute has to open. That is a promise of God. That ain't a theory. That's a promise. His promises is true. Because listen to me. You cannot name one single thing God has not gotten you through. Name it. And if he ain't got you through it, he currently pulling you through it right now. And the living proof of it is you sitting in here. If he hadn't got you through it, you wouldn't even be here. So if he ain't never not got you through it, why would he not let your parachute open? It has to open, man. But now you got to jump, though. Now, here's another thing. You can play it safe and deal without the cuts and the tears. And you can stand on that cliff of life forever safe. But if you don't jump, I got another promise I can make you. Your parachute will never open. You'll never know. You'll never know what God really had for you. See, your God has a wonderful life for you. Once again, I'm going to refer to your Bible. Now, you go down there, you memorize these scriptures, you don't apply them to yourself. Your Bible says that he comes to give you life and give you life more abundantly. If I were you, I would jump. Because that's the only way to get to that abundant life. You got to jump, man. You got to take a chance. Now, when I get through talking, there are those of you who will discuss this in the car. Well, I got bills. And I got bills. Whether you stay on the cliff or you jump, you're going to have bills. Well, if I quit my job, I'm going to ruin my credit. If you got a job, you're living check to check. Even if you got A1 credit, you can't buy nothing else no damn way. At one point in time, man, do yourself a favor. Go see what God really do. God hold you up, man. He ain't going to let you fall. He ain't bring you this far to let you fall. Do yourself a favor, man. Before you leave this world, before you die, jump. Just jump one time. Just jump. Thank you very much.
So, A teachable moment and the moral of this part of the story is that you, and you alone, have the ability to move any mountain in your life. But you have to be willing to jump. That is, you must be willing to use the faith that you have, even if it's only a mustard seed of faith, to get it done with God's help. And beyond even that, by speaking to that mountain, that is, by speaking to that negative situation in your life, saying, "Mountain, be cast into the sea. Cancer, be gone. Bad debt, be gone. A bad relationship, or no relationship at all for that matter, be gone. It will be done for you." Yes, if you tell that mountain to move without doubting what you're saying, it will be done, as it says in Mark 11:23. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written three books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary and in some cases even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written three books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another nonfictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. Gene firmly believed that anyone could do whatever they wanted to accomplish in life as long as they put God first, above spouse, as well as above children, relatives, and friends. Gene's position of putting God first was displayed one day when Al told her he wanted to become a pilot. Well, the question might be asked, what in the world inspired Al to fly an airplane? The answer to this question is that he had a friend who worked at a small college in the same city where his job was, in Charleston, who had become a pilot. Al was inspired by him, so he began taking flying lessons at the local airport in the city. This story connects to Gene in that Al had mentioned to her one day that when he completed his pilot training that he would fly solo to and from Charleston where he worked back to Columbia where they lived. He then asked Gene if she would fly with him once he received his flying license. To Al's surprise, Gene said yes, that she would fly with him. Well, Al never completed his pilot training, so he never knew whether Gene would have followed through with her agreeing to fly with him alone in a plane. But it was an indication that she truly believed that he could fly a plane successfully if he wanted to, and she apparently would have felt safe to fly alone with him. Well, the truth be told, maybe Gene was just trying to make Al feel good when she said she would fly alone with him. At any rate, she truly believed that with God, a person could do anything, even Al flying a plane. The key, in Gene's estimation, is that with any decision you make, you put God first and you can achieve your desires. So, she believed that Al could fulfill his desire, whether it was being a pilot or, for that matter, a professor, an author, a successful person in business, or any other endeavor. And this principle actually works for anyone else, she believed, if you keep God first place in your life. Jean certainly had to put her faith to the test with regards to a desire that she had. As she was recuperating from her illness, she was focused on starting a daycare for preschool children. This was her way of providing a service for youth, while at the same time satisfying a desire that she always had of working with children. After all, her three sisters had become very successful in their daycare businesses, and Jean thought that she could do the same now that she was retired from her state government job. And Jean loved children, especially preschoolers, as well as elementary school kids. Evidence of this was when she spent some time as a substitute teacher. But her heart was not in teaching. It was in establishing her daycare business, which we'll get into on the next show. We'll be back to close the show after the following messages.
This is follow-up to my previous posting in reference to Life in the Spirit by Dr. William Porter. I must say that I was more than thrilled to meet with him yesterday to gain my own personally signed copy of this book. I must also say that from page one, I was captivated by his connections with practical living, real life experiences to scripture. And for me, that is a win-win situation. But look, just don't take my word for it. Actually, yeah, take my word. But also, take a look and read for yourself. Life in the Spirit, Dr. William Porter. You can also access more information online at www.williamporterlife.com. Happy readings!
Welcome back. Our scripture of the day is 1 Samuel 2nd chapter, verse 3. This verse of scripture says that, "Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." The only place in the Bible where the word actions appears is in this particular verse of scripture. It's telling us that God knows our intentions and considers the words that we say, but it is our actions that often move him to act on our behalf. So this verse of scripture is telling us that God weighs, or put another way, considers our actions to see if they are products of our intentions, our sincere intentions to help others. And God promises to move on our behalf, but he does so in his own time. Jean knew that we have to wait sometimes to get what we want, but she also knew that God ultimately blesses those who trust him. Yes, she knew that despite our impatience, he's always on time.
Yes, he. Oh.